Oh, we're in Wexford. The Great American Songbook, not featuring at the moment, history of Wexford Festival Opera is. Carina Daly is with me this morning. Carina, thank you for getting out of your bed. Were you drenched coming in?
No, Marty, it's not raining at the moment.
Oh, it's not raining?
No.
That's flying a Wexford flag now. Yeah. Well, it certainly was on the way in. It was desperate. Firstly, congratulations on this book. You have written the history of Wexford Festival Opera. It is an amazing history for an event that, if you think about it, at one level shouldn't have survived at all. And yet it's been through all manner of ups and downs, hasn't it?
That's right, Marty. It is a remarkable story. And I can't believe we're celebrating the 70 years this year from what started off as a very small little provincial festival. It has grown into an international festival. And in fact, it grew very quickly in the 50s to that. And I suppose we have to really thank Dr. Tom Walsh for what he did and the local volunteers in Wexford for getting it off the ground.
And what is it, do you think, that made it so successful with such speed?
Well, Tom Walsh, he was a local doctor. He had access to a lot of kind of important people at that time. He did a lot of contacts in the UK.
Right.
So there was a lot of publicity for the festival, even in the first couple of years. In the UK, the British media knew about it, even before the Irish media did. So he was able to involve a lot of people, from international people. He also was a trained singer himself, so he knew what he was looking for, and he brought over amazing singers very early on, back in the 1950s. He brought amazing singers over to sing in Wexford.
But he was doing it, if you will, as an act of love, because he had his practice. He was a busy person. He was doing his own thing. So it was an act of love with him, wasn't it?
Passion. Exactly. And he had a small group of close friends from the area, two other medics, a postman and the local hotelier, and they all decided that they wanted to listen to opera on gramophones, and they set up a little study circle. And within a year, they decided, no, they wanted to put it on the stage. Now, that was a no mean feat when you're looking at the old, if you remember the old Theatre Royal in Wexford, it wasn't set up or geared to take an opera. But they did that. They managed to do it.
And you're also doing it. It's like a lot of things. People always say you need to be in Dublin or you need to be in Cork. He was doing it in a place that wasn't perceived as a centre for something like opera. So he was it was a big risk, if you will, as it grew, and kind of saying, well, and then trying to bring people in and attract audiences, not just from Ireland, but from elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is a very resilient organisation. I think the fact that it had volunteers, local community volunteers.
Is that the secret, do you think?
I think it probably is one of the biggest well-known secrets. People work for nothing.
Yeah.
There's a phenomenal volunteer programme in Wexford. We've over 400 volunteers. Now, that is an impressive statistic anywhere, and it would be the envy of any culture and arts organisation anywhere.
Yeah.
And that has carried through from the 1950s. People working in the wardrobe, costume, design, going out meeting the patrons at the different concerts around Wexford during festival time, and it just couldn't sustain itself without that support.
I'm going through your book. The photographs are phenomenal. Picture of Morella Ferraini in there and stuff. It's gorgeous.
You
obviously had access to a treasure trove of photographs and old posters and everything. How did you have so much access?
So a couple of different things. I did a PhD back in the early 2000s. So part of my PhD was based on the establishment of Wexford Festival Opera. So I had access to a lot of material from then. And Tom Walsh's daughter brought me over to her house over in the UK, and she gave me access to all her father's material. So I had,
which would be a lot.
Exactly. So I had all the old material, which was invaluable, really, because there was no archive in Wexford.
Well, this is what I'm wondering. You know the way sometimes people say, well, they don't keep anything. But some stuff is there.
A lot of it is taken from individual people's archives.
Yeah.
So over time, the archive has grown in Wexford, and we have a nice archive now. But you're right about the photographs. I mean, there are phenomenal photographs available of the productions. Sir Clive Bard, we were lucky to have Sir Clive Bard over to take photographs.
Yeah.
Our own Ger Lawler here in Wexford is a photographer. And so when you put it all together, it's amazing the kind of productions that went on the stage.
I'm looking at a photograph here of Nicola Monte, Brenda Greavy, how stunning Brenda Greavy. And the great Veronica Dunn?
Yes.
It's just a gorgeous picture from 1962, Paolo Padani. Yeah. It's a gorgeous, but these are fantastic. And this is the only way you're going to get this, is to get your book, which is very. How long did it take you to put it together?
Well, it took me about a year and a half to put it together.
Okay. Yeah. And when you were researching and you were talking to people, Because you're talking, you've talked like in some parts I've noticed, it's information, yes, but it's also almost in the first person. So people obviously gave you their stories or their take on different times of during the course of the festival.
Exactly, and I suppose first and foremost I'm an historian, so it's I need to make sure I'm telling people's stories in their words,
yes.
And that I'm not trying to rewrite history, I suppose. So I've tried to quote people as much as I can from it, so that I'm getting the actual exact information that they would have portrayed. And
sure.
I was lucky to have access to an awful lot of people who helped me.
Can we get it everywhere, or where can we get it?
Yeah, it's available here in the National Opera House, actually.
Yeah.
And available in local bookshops.
Now, listen, Christmas is coming. Can I just give you a hint? Do I presume it'll be available in the likes of Easons and these places?
Yes, absolutely.
Because you've got to, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is about the festival, because it's not as populated as it would normally be.
Yeah.
And last night was terrific. I thought it was amazing.
It was amazing.
Incredible to watch. And it always disappoints me that there's only a few performances of an opera like that. Like, it's not like running for a fortnight or something.
Yeah.
It's just, it only has its short run. It's four nights, I think. Four
performances. Yeah, well, maybe that's the charm of it as well,
maybe
isn't it? That
maybe
you get to see it and then it's gone.
Yeah, maybe that is what it is. But again, it's very important when you have a book like this that people know it's available and people can, well, we'll do our bit, obviously, for you. In terms of this, do you have favourite opera pieces? Are you an opera buff? Do you like opera from a personal point? And because you're not going to say no, but do you particularly like opera?
Well, no, I'm not going to say no, but it has grown on me over time.
Yes.
My favourites are when there's a very good story. I mean, I did love last night. I love a very slow moving love story, but one of my favourites probably was Silent Night.
Yes, you know,
because of the connotations of
you
know what it's about, so it has grown on me over time. I've only been attending maybe for 20 years. You know, there are people coming here for 60 years.
So you started
years.
When you were two.
Yeah, exactly. I started when I started researching this.
But opera is about that. I had a different take on opera when I was much younger. And then suddenly you start to hear a bit and you think, well, that's nice, I like that. You know, my mum used to play it at home. So you start to kind of gather
And when I started doing the research, I was amazed at the number of people, even in Wexford, that were following opera from, say, the age of 15, going to operas around the world and, you know, standing at the back of the auditorium trying to hear what's going on. Like, people are fanatical about opera.
It is interesting, isn't it? And on that basis, please God, you're going to have a good seller. Which is going to be very important. No, it's very important. Because in terms of how long it took you to put the book together, how long did you actually spend doing it?
Well, if you count all of the research, so the PhD is 3 years, and then it took me another year to write. I published a book in 2004 on the early years of it. So in total, I've been researching this for a very, very long time.
You surely have.
Should all be here in the one place now.
Absolutely, yeah. And congratulations. It's an absolutely gorgeous production. It really is. It's quite something. We're going to play a little bit of opera. We just, that you were here, we thought we'd better play a bit of Andrea Bocelli. And this is him. Just to let you know, lads, the book is called The History of Wexford Festival Opera, 1951 to 2021. Karina, thank you. We have a copy that we're going to give to a listener. So we'll slip you a few bob for that one. Thank you very much. And thank you. And I hope it's a really, really big seller. And it's, I have to say, a very heavy book. And I mean that by way of weight, not to do with what's in it. Because the other thing that I particularly like about it is, and having only had a chance to read some of it this morning, is the fact that it is very readable. The access is there for those who may not be aficionados.
Exactly.
Because people can sometimes be frightened, as you know.
Yeah, No, it's not. It's there for anyone who loves coming to Wexford, who wants to know how does a cultural institution sustain itself over time. So it's the story behind it.
Yeah, well, absolutely, for sure. Listen, keep well, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks a million.
Your pet. Now, there it is again, The History of Wexford Festival Opera, 1951-2021, and that's Karina Daly, and this is Andrea Bocelli.